Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Gabriel Iglesias. It's Fluffy. Yes, it is. And you're checking out the Dana Cortez Show, the best morning show in the world.
En todo el mundo.
I want to eat a school lunch today. Let me explain. Let me explain why I'm saying this. Good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
I don't need a school lunch today. DJ Automatic.
I go by Adrie.
Let me tell you something. When I was a little girl, I never got to eat school lunch because my Nana, well, first of all, we didn't have money for it. It was expensive. She would make me lunch every day. And I did not want that lunch. Everybody at school got their tray.
You wanted that sloppy Joe.
Otto, I wanted whatever it was they had. They had chicken, they had fish sticks, whatever. They'd stand in their little line, and they would put, like, the cafeteria people would scoop things out, and I would just sit there with this brown bag, and I'll open a brown bag, and people would make fun of me, and blah, blah. You know what? I would kill for that brown bag right now. That was so good! The food was so good! What's wrong with me?
When you said fish sticks, that, like, sent trauma throughout my body. Remember they used to say, what is that stuff that you dip it in? The
Tartar sauce. I'm not sure what that was from the school. So later, when I went to go live with my mother, I really wanted that brown bag. I was like, what is this? The school lunch is just not that great. There were certain foods, though, that are right. There were certain things.
I feel
things.
Like it's specifically your school, because my school had good food, dude.
Anthony, I went to like 20 schools. Every one of them was hit or miss.
Oh, I went to like three, and I would say Adobe Acres Elementary had some, and then Navajo Elementary had really good burgers. They had like the square patty.
Really?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Square patty burgers at school, huh? Now, you remember the fish sticks when they would be wet?
Oh, to stop like, talking about the fish sticks.
Something, they would like transfer peach juice onto them or something. I'm like, what is that?
That's like my nightmare cafeteria food right there.
Or they'd put some pineapple on there, and then the tater tots would get soaked in them. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? Cross contamination.
I did like that when we did taco day. There was like, and they did like white people taco night, but it was amazing.
I love white people taco night.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now that we're talking about it, did you guys always get milk with your lunch? Because now I'm thinking about it, hamburgers and milk, I would never eat that as an adult.
Oh, God, so gross when you say that. Yes, and I hate milk. I hated milk then. I hate milk now. So I used to lift some cocoa powder from my mom's work, and I'd take it with me to school.
Oh.
And I would put it in the chocolate milk, in the milk, rather, make it chocolate, and I would sell them for 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
My mom's boss always had a bunch of hot cocoa.
Little queen pin.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do. I was moving that powder. Cocoa powder.
There's a lot of stuff in that brown bag over there, not just burritos.
Lots of stuff going on. What do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
It is National Certified Nurses Day. Shout out to all the CNs out there.
Yeah, man. CNAs are a big deal. We need you. Thank you for your hard work.
And we'll wrap it up on National Let's Laugh Day, encouraging you to share a laugh with a loved one or family member.
Nothing cures sadness like a smile. I know it sounds crazy. You're feeling down. Right? Something's not going your way. I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to smile. And I want you to, if somebody in your life is sad, go over there and give them a hug and make them laugh.
I thought you were going to say, I want you to look in the mirror and laugh at yourself.
No, Otto, no. But see, that made me feel good because he made me laugh.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Did you meet your husband or wife at work? Did you meet your forever person at work? I want to hear from you. 877-730-DCS1. Call or text us. Working closely with somebody, you can develop feelings. Remember the whole Coldplay incident between Kristen Cabot, the head of HR at Astronomer, and her boss, CEO Andy Byron?
Yeah. Oh, look at these two.
Yes.
All right. Come on. Yeah. What? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
When I hear that, my heart just drops because they were in shock. These two worked together in high-powered positions. Now, I did not know that Kristen Cabot was separated. According to Andy Byron, to Kristen Cabot, he was separated as well. Well, part of that story is untrue. Kristen Cabot sat down with Oprah, and Oprah asks, you know, were you separated? What's going on? Here's part of that conversation.
So maybe 4 or 6 weeks prior to the Coldplay concert,
my husband and I had decided to separate, living apart and planning for a divorce. And Andy Byron, my boss at the time, he and I had a very close working relationship. And so we were really in it together and spent a ton of time together. And it was about around the time that Andrew and I, my husband, had separated. And Andy and I had gone out to grab sandwiches during the workday. And he asked me, I seemed a little off. And he just said, what's going on? And I said, well, my husband and I are separating and planning a divorce. He immediately let me know that he was in the exact same situation, that he and his wife were living apart. They were planning for a divorce, and it had been many years in the making. You know, I was really surprised when he told me. We didn't talk a lot about our personal lives prior to that, so I didn't expect to hear that from him.
This sounds very convenient. I mean, she's obviously going out there to set the story straight, or at least make it sound the way she wants it to sound, and that's why she's sitting down with Oprah. I mean, I don't know that you're ever going to get the real story out of her, because I don't believe that.
Do you think she would lie? And,
yeah, I believe she's trying to save face, yeah.
Well,
and let me tell you, the embrace that they had on camera is not the kind of embrace that you have with somebody that you just started seeing.
I don't think that they just started seeing each other. I think that might have been the first time they touched. When you are close with somebody and you work with them every single day, and I know this personally because you and I are married, you feel a connection that is undescribable.
No way in the beginning I would have ever sat there and held you in front of people like that.
There were a lot of things you did.
There's no way
that Coldplay could have called us out on. Okay, look.
I don't think you guys are the morale police on this one.
We're definitely not.
Definitely not me.
No, I was over here like throwing this woman under the bus. She was separated. Kristen's friends gave her the tickets, all right? She claims she didn't go out a lot. So how did Andy end up at the concert with her?
It was like such a no-brainer to invite Andy. When I say we would talk like 10 times a day, that was even before this connection started. It's just the nature of our job and our working relationship. Plus, we were, you know, enjoying spending time together, and it just seemed like
everything had been business up until the Coldplay concert.
Yes.
Was there a little whisper saying we should tell somebody, or we should?
It was more than a whisper. Okay, it was like a real conversation where we sat down and said, like, we have to figure out a plan for this because these feelings are real. We decided that we put kind of a plan together, but we wanted to propose to our board of directors that would change the reporting structure 5 or 6 days before the concert. We had a lunch that was a lengthy lunch to talk about this.
And pay attention to this next part, because her husband, Andrew, was at the concert.
But then I was like, I'm in Gillette Stadium. There's 55,000 people here. I'm probably not going to run into him. Doesn't matter. I mean, that would have been better at the end of the day if I just run into him.
Now, Kristen claims that they had not been physical. They had not touched each other until the Coldplay concert. That was the first time that they actually decided to get closer. Here she is explaining that.
We started to touch before it was on camera, but that,
Okay, but that was the first time you had physically touched.
Correct.
So what made you do it then?
I had a really big crush on him, Oprah.
Yeah.
And so did he. These were like really incredible feelings. And I don't know women that could relate to this, but I had been going through a really tough time. I was coming out of a separation, and it felt really good to get attention and affection from an awesome man.
That part I felt so deeply in my bones, because I remember catching feelings for Otto. We were just friends. We'd go to lunch and wanting to be closer to him. I'll never forget it. Rachel's
on
line one.
And that's why I think that they're creating a narrative.
Rachel is on line one. This is before we touched or anything that I felt that. And I know you did too, because you ran up a $700 phone bill, sir, almost. Okay, we hadn't touched one bit. All right, Rachel, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. You met your husband at work?
Yes, we were both teachers together in our first year teaching at the same school.
Were you with other people, or you were both single? Everything was fine? Like, how did it happen?
I was single, kind of coming out of like a it's complicated situation.
Yep. I get it.
And like a 3-year it's complicated situation.
Messy.
And we had both moved to a new city, and he was kind of in a casual relationship with, again, long distance.
Yeah.
So we were both like technically single. Him a little less single than me, but it was not, committed.
There we go with creating that narrative.
Oh,
all right, go.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you know the definition of technically.
But no, I understand what Rachel's saying. Like, it's so complicated, especially when you start catching feelings and you weren't even trying.
No, we were friends for 2 months first. Like, we played trivia together after school, and we were both first-year teachers in the trenches. And then we kind of kept it secret for like a year. And
you have to.
We've been together for 16 years.
Whoa!
Oh!
We're married, two kids.
Oh, it was meant to be, but can you understand what Kristen Cabot is saying about
develop? Oh, absolutely. When you're together every day, especially like if you're in a stressful work situation, mm-hmm. you become war allies, right? Like you're in the trenches together, you bond okay. together. Like, you go through that same kind of trauma.
It is trauma. It is exactly it is. That. You're growing together, and you're trying to both achieve this goal. And it doesn't mean that everybody you work with, that's going to happen. You just might get lucky, though.
And I imagine, like, you and Otto, like, y'all's job is very special and interesting that, like, a lot of people don't understand. And I think it's the same with teaching. Like, if you're not a teacher, you don't get it. And so there's, like, a bond. There's a bond yes. that happens.
Yes.
Of like, nobody else understands what I'm going through right now.
Oh, I'm just so happy you guys
have
been together for 16 years.
Which student figured out first that you guys were together?
So actually, none of them. They thought he was dating the Spanish teacher next door just because they saw them together next door and I was in a different part of the building. So they actually never put it together, which was hilarious.
But that's okay. so cute though, Anna, that you would ask that. Because you know the students be nosy, girl. They be nosy.
Oh, yeah, we both teach high school, so they're super nosy.
Oh, I know, that's right. Okay. And I mean, Otto, that's how we met at work, and so that's why I'm so disappointed in you.
What am I saying?
Because you're attacking this woman, and
well,
when at the
make
moment
it into this like romantic love
I didn't
story,
make it into romance.
That.
I'm not making it into romance. I'm making it into reality. The reality is you can develop feelings. You can catch feelings
obviously.
Without touching someone. Because you and I were together. Let
Settle
me tell you
down,
something.
Woman.
No, my husband now, DJ Automatic, he'd be out okay at the clubs. He's still is, but he would not go party. You know what he'd do? He'd call me. We hadn't touched. You would call me, and this is
before... called laying groundwork.
And this is before you could call people and just get like free calls. He ran up the phone bill. I still remember he said, my dad's so mad. The phone bill's $682. So then Otto says to me, I'm going to get the same phone company as you so I can call you for free.
You robbed me from the crib, Dana. That's why
I'm
still on my dad's phone plan. That's how young I was.
Are Andy and Kristen still together? And of course, Kristen revealed their status today. That is next.
It was Cracking the Show with Little Rob, and you're listening to the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Kristen Cabot is the woman that was placed on a big jumbotron along with Andy Byron at the Coldplay concert. We're revisiting this because she sat down with Oprah. Oprah did ask, are y'all still together? Now, before I play that, I want to remind you of what happened at the Coldplay concert. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Oh, look at these two. All right. Come on. You're okay? Come
oh, my on. Gosh.
Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Oh, my gosh. So, if you just tuned in, Kristen disclosed to Oprah that they had had crushes, you know, but that they hadn't been touching until that night.
She hadn't been physical.
Hadn't been physical. She 100% invited him to the concert with the intent of dating, of hooking up. She disclosed that 100%. They also said that they were going to talk to the board of directors and she was going to have to report to somebody else. What I want to know is, are they still together?
I ended communication with Andy in mid-fall. There was a big miss on honesty and integrity. He wasn't the person he represented himself to be. I was the one left
holding. Meaning he wasn't separated? Because what you're implying to me, he really wasn't separated.
I want to be really careful because the world spoke for me and on my behalf, and I don't want to do that to somebody else in their family. I don't feel comfortable. Mm. But I will say, like, a lot of what was represented to me was not true.
But will you verify again, as you said to us earlier, that he had told you when you told him you were separated, he had said to you he's going through the same thing.
Unequivocally.
Okay. So you believed when you were standing with him at the Coldplay concert that he was separated?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Zero doubt. Being the one that was attacked for this with, you know, and he's remained silent, to me that's not a quality that I would look for in a friend or a partner or a boss. So we have no relationship.
What would you have wanted him to do or say?
The entire trajectory of this would have changed if he would have just made a quick statement to say, my wife and I were separated at the time of the concert, just like my husband did.
I'm sure his wife didn't want him to say anything. She'd already been embarrassed in front of the world. She didn't want to double down on it.
I get it, Otto, but like, I would want you to say something. I would want, as a wife, I would say, you better step out there and you better say something. You better apologize to me publicly. Not saying a word and having to be in circles of people laughing at me behind my back, that's way worse. 877-730-DCS1. Did you meet your person at work? Can you kind of understand where Kristen is coming from. Call or text.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars, there's real beef. And he's responding. So I'm going to read to you exactly what he had to say after famous people's birthdays, Anthony A.
We have Young Gravy, Bruce Willis, and Theo Vaughn celebrating their birthday.
Okay, so there was somebody on social media that threw up a tweet and they said, Taylor Swift is not a real artist. You know, she's got great production, blah, 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 but she doesn't dance, blah, kind of degrading her, right? She doesn't have talent. She's talentless. Well, according to reports, Bruno Mars liked that tweet. So, of course, the Swifties are like, hey, 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 what's happening? Well, Bruno Mars unliked that tweet, and he responded, and he says, Taylor has always been supportive and kind to me. Only love over here. Bruno, what was you doing?
You know, like, Bruno likes to, he gets on a wild one here and there, and yeah, he might have been on one.
But he is arguably one of the most talented of our generation. But so is Taylor Swift. Just because she doesn't do what he does doesn't mean she's talentless. She's a writer. She's a composer. She's a
she's
child
one of the most amazing
genius.
Women on the planet. I'm sorry.
The thought that goes into her writing, if this, like, in hip-hop world, she's number one, baby. Like, if you really want to talk about double and triple entendres, she's incredible. And so is Bruno Mars. When you have two talented people like that, why can't they just be talented in their own right? It doesn't have to be tearing each other down.
It might have something to do with that she had the biggest tour of last year, and he's probably going to have the biggest tour this year, and maybe he doesn't feel like he's going to live up to her tour numbers.
He probably won't. Nobody. I mean,
who else is going to?
Well, he'll have a great one, though. I mean, everybody I've ever known that's seen him live says he's incredible. And the same goes for Taylor. Who was the sports guy? Y'all are going to have to help me here. He works on ESPN. He's like, I could not believe I was
Stephen going. A. Smith.
There you go. He said, my daughters were like, you wouldn't take me to see Taylor Swift. He was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then he left. He said, I'm the biggest Taylor Swift fan ever. He said, I was in tears. That was amazing. Because she's just that good.
The only thing that breaks my heart, too, is this just makes both of them seem so old. Who's beefing on Twitter anymore?
Yo,
that's crazy.
For real.
Bruno's 40 now.
They're such millennials. It's crazy.
And Taylor Swift's about to be an old married lady, so there you go. All right. What tour are you most looking forward to this year? There's a lot of great ones.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You know how we talked about Dr. Dre being a billionaire? Forbes just dropped their list. Not only will we verify that, how about the youngest billionaire in the world? Wait till I tell you who she is, okay? After celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
We have Theo Vaughn, Bruce Willis, and Young Gravy as well celebrating their birthday.
Forbes says Dr. Dre is a billionaire for real this time. He said for real this time. So we explained this, but in case you didn't know, when he sold Beats by Dre years ago, he did make $1 billion, but he had to split it with everybody else. Now, through the sale of Beats, through residual income from Beats, through the sale of his record label.
Catalog.
His catalog. He is now officially a billionaire. Congratulations to Dr. Dre. Also, Beyonce is officially on the billionaire list.
Dang, her and Jay-Z are billionaires. Separately billionaires. That's
separately
crazy.
Separately.
Can we do that, Dana? Can I become a billionaire and you become a billionaire?
Can we just get to the million first? And then we'll move on to the B word. That's the B word I want to be.
Speaking of Jay-Z, I'm hearing album rumors. So
that's what I heard, too.
I'm excited. I want a new album.
More dad rap. Okay.
I've been listening to 444. I've been listening to all the dad rap.
And what was that?
Who's this youngest person on the Forbes list? I've been dying to know.
So I was so interested in her. Now I'm doing all my Googles. Her name is Luana Lopez Lara. She's the world's youngest self-made female billionaire.
What did she do?
She is a former ballerina from Brazil, and she used her earnings to co-found a prediction market firm called Kalshi, and she turned it into an $11 billion startup in 6 years, baby.
Well, that's about to go away.
No.
No, they're saying it's illegal. They're actually starting to sue people over Kelce. It's going to go away in
the United
States.
She got her money already. It's too late.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
And that's Brazil. And the way everything's going right now, for at least another Wednesday election, 2 years, these things are going to be around, okay?
We'll see.
Yes, check it out, man. It's your boy Akon, and you're about to check out the Dana Cortez Show. Let's keep it locked, baby.
Okay, do you crochet? Do you have a garden, a little salsa garden? Do you know you're on top of the hottest trends right now? Look at you, you hot thing. 877-730-DCS1. Seriously, I want you to call me.
A couple of those things.
What does your mama do, Otto?
My mom does the needlepoint.
Because, you know, grandma hobbies are the hottest thing right now. Not even kidding you. Grandma hobbies are where
she's
it's
a real
at.
Grandma.
She is a real grandma. So crocheting became really big during the end of the pandemic. And there was a company, I think they're called Woobles. And they were on Shark Tank. And at first, when they walked in, everybody was like, you're crazy. This is the couple presenting their crocheting company to the sharks.
Sharks, we're here to get you hooked.
On crochet.
Our company is the Woobles. We make fun, simple kits that teach you how to crochet. But instead of a boring pot holder, you'll learn how to make adorable characters like
Pierre the Penguin and Felix the Fox.
Fred the Dino and Sebastian the Lion.
Now, before you laugh, they have an 86% profit margin, and they made $3 million last year.
That is very inspiring to hear that, because, like, crocheting is something that's been around forever. I mean, my grandma's going to be mad she missed out on all this money.
So, for me, I used to do something with my Nana when I was little. I didn't know any better. I grew up with my Nana, my Theo Frankie, called embroidering by hand. She would hand me this round thing, and I would put a handkerchief, and she would put these, I don't know how she'd draw this stuff. I don't know if she would, like, I don't know, but I would sew, embroider, swans, flowers, all these things, and I loved it. I would have the best Saturday. Who knew I was on top of the trends?
My grandma Millie used to make blankets.
Would she make quilts?
Yeah, well, no, not quilts. She would knit.
Real blankets?
Yeah, blankets, yes. Or, like, sometimes she'd make somebody, like, a scarf or a sweatshirt. My mom was doing it for a little bit, but that's tedious.
Well, it's good for mind, though.
We all had different hobbies because me and my grandpa would play this basketball game. You guys ever play horse? Like,
yeah.
Where, like, one person would take a shot and another person would take a shot. And then what we did is every time he would miss, he would take a shot of something, and then I would take a drink of water.
Yeah, I never played that game in my house.
Never played that one with my grandpa.
Yeah, never.
I don't know if I'm at grandma hobbies yet in life. I think I have.
Otto, you built a garden. What are you talking about? You planted a garden, sir.
That's not a grandma hobby.
Yes, it is.
That is a survival technique, okay?
Otto's preparing for the apocalypse. That's what he's doing right now.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.